Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. A man with leprosy came to him, that is Jesus, and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning: "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Let us pray. Our Father, we ask now for the blessing of your Holy Spirit upon your word. Lord, open our stubborn and darkened minds and help us to see clearly the truth. Grant us a deeper understanding of your word every day. But especially tonight, we ask that you would help us to understand the implications and the significance of what this passage teaches us. Grant your blessing in Christ's name. Amen. Our text is preceded by a very, very long day that began with Jesus' ministry in the synagogue in Capernaum and in the home of Peter and Andrew. If you look at the earlier passages, you will see the activity of Jesus. One of the things that you might note as you read the book of Mark is that Mark is particularly concerned that you see where Jesus went. It's almost as if there is a kind of travel log, because Mark is very careful to say Jesus went here, and then he went here, and he went to another place. But he is giving to us something of a picture of the flow of the life and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not only giving us the events, but also something of the drama of those events as he struggled with the forces of darkness and evil, as well as the lack of understanding by those who claimed his name. Now, he had this long day. He was preceded by this long day of labor. And it says, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick. So that day was kind of brought to a conclusion with all of the sick, the demon-possessed, and the whole town gathered at the door. Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Now, you will notice throughout this book that when Jesus heals many of various kinds of diseases, it usually mentions demons. Now, what he's talking about is the forces of evil under the authority of Satan. And what we see here is Jesus is demonstrating his authority not only over the curse from which we receive the effects in our own bodies, the curse on sin, but he has authority over Satan himself. And he demonstrates that authority repeatedly. Now, our text goes on, and it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark," that is the text right immediately before us, "while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you.'" Now, I want you to get the picture of what is actually happening. Jesus has been faced with opportunities to preach and teach, and he has done that. He has healed many from various diseases, and he has cast out the demons. He has even commanded the demons not to speak. He does not need the testimony of demons. But then Jesus, very early in the morning, saw the need to get alone to pray, to speak, and commune with his Father. Now, I preached a sermon a while back about why did Jesus pray? And if you think about it, was he not God in human flesh? If someone didn't need to pray, it certainly would have been him. But you see, Jesus acted in the as a true and righteous man. He labored and did his work as a true and righteous man. Though he was very God and very God, he knew that he needed the communion with his Father, and he knew that the Father had purpose to carry out his purposes through his prayers and the prayers of his people. And for a study on that matter, you might look at John chapter 17. But the disciples came looking for him. They were disturbed. I often think about my children. When they were young, we'd be in the house somewhere, and all of a sudden here would come running a couple of them just to make sure we were still there. And the disciples hadn't seen Jesus. It was early in the morning, and he was gone, and so they went to look for him. And there's nothing wrong with that. They were concerned. But Jesus replied, "Let us go elsewhere. Everyone's looking for you," he said. They said. And he said, wait a minute. "Let's go elsewhere to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That's why I have come." Now remember the very first sentence of the book of Mark. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, Jesus came to preach. He came to proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand. He came bringing the good news. The good news that the Messiah has come. The promised Redeemer has come. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus came, and in his coming he was establishing his kingdom. And that kingdom is a present reality. And we must never allow the everyday affairs of life and the blatant wickedness of ungodly men and all of the wicked devices of men that we see publicized in the news to dissuade us from understanding that God is on the throne and that his kingdom is a present reality, and it is being realized, and it's being realized through the proclamation of the gospel. It doesn't take place in the beck and call of trumpets and the dramatics of the siren, so to speak. In a slow and quiet way, God is working his purpose. His kingdom is being realized. His purposes are being carried out. And so Jesus came to preach. The way of the coming of the kingdom of God is through the preaching of the gospel. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Once again, he is proclaiming forgiveness of sins. He is proclaiming deliverance from the curse. And he is declaring his authority over Satan and all his hosts. What was his message? The good news. I am afraid sometimes that we often hear preachers talking about bad news more than they talk about good news. But you see, Christ came with good news. Why was it good news? Well, it was the news that all that he had promised in the ages past, which is recorded in the Old Testament scriptures, is now coming to fulfillment in his person and work. He is the Christ, the Anointed One, our great prophet, priest, and king. And it was sometime during these travels that Jesus met the leper. A man with leprosy came to Jesus. A leper approached him on his knees with his face to the ground and begged him to make him clean. A graphic picture. The manner in which a sinner ought to approach God for forgiveness. If you can just reflect a minute on the reality of your own sin. Do you have the right to come marching into God's presence and demand of Him forgiveness? This leper understood his condition. You see, leprosy is a picture of the reality of sin. This leprosy signifies all that is gross and corrupt and corrupting about sin. This is the extraordinary picture. And it's hard for us to understand sometimes. We have no experience with which we can make a comparison. Leprosy in the Bible, in the biblical record, is thought to be an infection produced by a microbe discovered by Hansen in 1871. It is not readily communicated by casual contact, but in biblical times it was incurable and ultimately led to death. The variety we are most familiar with is characterized by nodular growths and parts of the limbs that would drop off as the disease progressed. There is no clearer picture of the terrible effects of sin. Literally, the limbs, the fingers, the toes, ultimately the hands and the arms and the legs and the toes would fall off. That is what's wrong with us. We are saturated with ungodliness, and it is only Christ who can heal us. Leprosy was a real and dangerous disease that deserved to be treated with care. The isolation required in the Mosaic law under the primitive conditions of the time and limited medical means for treatment served as a necessary precaution. It must be remembered, however, that the disease and the treatment bore a ceremonial significance as a type of sin. The person was set apart from the church and community as unclean. As the Greek word would indicate, without relationship to God. Or as the very opposite of holy, which is to be set apart to God. Normally, the person with leprosy is not said to be healed, but cleansed. You see, that's what we need. We need cleansing from sin. We need deliverance from the from not only the very presence of sin, but the mindset of sin and the effects of sin. And we, like the leper, until we know the cleansing power of Jesus Christ, have nothing to say but unclean, unclean, unclean. Why did they cry out unclean? Because to give the people a warning to stay away, to stay away. Sin isolates you as well as corrupts you. Sin is a terrible, destructive reality. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, uncover his head, and cover the lower part of his face and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." It is important to visualize what actually happened in our text. The leper approached Jesus on his knees with his face to the ground and begged him to make him clean. Can you see the leper? He literally crawls up to Jesus and he asks him to make him clean. The very idea of a leper approaching someone was unthinkable. He was to cry out, unclean, unclean, that they might depart from him. But the very idea that this leper approached Jesus. What a marvelous thing it is that the Lord Jesus Christ is approachable by sinners. And this leper approached him. That the leper approached Jesus close enough that he could touch him. The leper approached on his knees with his face to the ground and begged in faith, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now it should be remembered that Jesus was living among a people, especially the leaders, who placed all the emphasis on legal trivialities. But in our text, it is said, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus was filled with compassion. It's a great term, an important term, used several times in the book of Mark. And what it means is that Jesus acted out of the depths of the deepest recesses of his own being, out of love and compassion. He loved this leper. Jesus was moved by the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Through the Gospels, we see that the sorrows of the people were his sorrows. You see, wrapped up in this whole thing was that in his compassion, he not only bore compassion toward the man and sorrow for his condition, but he was concerned for his standing before God and before men legally. Justice should be fulfilled. He was filled with a determination to exercise mercy and faithfulness to this man as a child of the covenant. You see, this man was a leper, but he was also an Israelite. And our text says, filled with compassion, he reached out his hand and he touched the man. When Jesus reached out and touched the leper, he became a leper. That's what it means that when you touch a leper, you become unclean. When you touch a dead man, you become unclean. In other words, you take on their condition by way of touch as a signification of the terribleness of that condition. He took upon himself the curse that was the leper's due and our due. The reason I read Isaiah 53 is that the servant of the Lord in Isaiah is certainly the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the terminology there describes the Lord Jesus Christ as our Redeemer, as one who was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like a leper from whom men hid their faces, Jesus was despised. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. You see, the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ had to come as a true and righteous man, if he was to redeem us, was that he had to take upon himself the accountability and the responsibility for our sin. Otherwise, we have no way of deliverance. You see, as he bore the accountability and the responsibility for our sin in his own body, on the cross and before, He bore the wrath of the Father, and he satisfied the justice of God with respect to us. So our sins are judged in Jesus Christ. That's what we see in this leper. Jesus not only gave us a lesson in his power to overcome and authority over the curse, but he demonstrates to us the redemption that we have in Christ, the forgiveness of sins as he becomes the leper for us, as he becomes the leper that we are. He bears in his own body the wrath of the Almighty God, the Father. And he pacifies that wrath. And he satisfies divine justice so that those who believe in him might go free and be cleansed. Not only did Jesus demonstrate his compassion, but he demonstrated his power and authority over the curse. By this act, he proclaimed his purpose to redeem the people, his people, from their sin and the universe from its curse. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. Why did Jesus give such a stern warning? Doesn't that seem quite unreasonable? What was Jesus' concern? Jesus' concern was that he did not want to be followed for his miracles. He had not come to establish an earthly kingdom. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." His kingdom was from heaven, a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom for which he must die. But it was not yet time. That would not yet, that time would not come. Nevertheless, it would come, but it would not come yet. Therefore, because the law was still in force, he expected the man to fulfill all righteousness by going to the priest to offer what Moses prescribed, that a leper might be declared clean. Jesus was concerned that this leper should bear witness to the priests and that he should be declared clean. He was to offer two clean living birds. One was to be killed. The other was to be dipped in the blood of the first and then released. The remainder of the blood was to be sprinkled over the leper seven times, and then he would be declared clean. He was to do this as a testimony to the priests. The priests would be faced with the irrefutable testimony of Jesus' power and authority as the Christ. And while the law can declare the leper unclean, it cannot declare him clean. Only Christ can declare him clean. Jesus sent the leper away with a strong warning. "See that you do not tell this to anyone." Instead, he began to talk freely, spreading the news. There is no evidence that the leper acted with any malice or evil intention, but out of great joy and gratitude for his deliverance, he spread the news freely. However, his actions were a clear disobedience to the expressed will of Jesus. We should learn that disobedience, though motivated by good and laudable intentions at times, are nevertheless disobedience and may have serious destructive consequences far beyond our intentions. And one of the consequences of this leper's failure to obey the Lord Jesus to be declared clean is that his testimony was not heard by the priests. So our text points out, as a result, Jesus could no longer enter the town. That's the other consequence. Enter the town and openly stayed outside in lonely places, Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. So there were consequences. But the central significance of this event is that Jesus declares himself the Redeemer of sinners. It is in his saving work that he is revealed as the healer of the leper. This was a real leper who had a real case of leprosy. But it typifies the condition of all men and the desperate need we have for salvation. The question is, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, as the King of your life? That's what he has come to be. You see, the beginning, this book is the beginning. Mark records the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you to give you thanks. We thank you that Jesus came, that he came to heal us from our diseases, that he came to deliver us from deserved judgment, that he came redeeming us from all of our sin and misery. Lord, grant that each of us here this evening might make our calling and election sure, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us the comfort of your peace. For we pray in Christ's name.